Part of the mission here at the Monastery of the Holy Land is to get people interested in the Holy Land and perhaps even to support or go to the Holy Land. And for good reason, it is often called the Fifth Gospel. Because when you actually go to the Holy Land, you learn to see the scripture passages in a little bit different way. This is very true for me when it comes to this passage today, in which Jesus speaks of a city on a mountain or on a hill. Now, we would tend to think a big hill with, on the very top, maybe there's a city up there, so it's really high, and so you could see the city. That's how I pictured it anyway, until I went to Galilee. And I was there in the Upper Galilee, where Jesus would have said these very words. And there today, on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee, just as was true in Jesus' time, is a large city, the city of Tiberias. Now, it's interesting because the city of Tiberias is a city set on a hill, but not in the way that you would picture that city on top of a big hill. Rather, picture a large hillside, and the city is set in terraces, progressively up the entire hillside. So it literally is set on a hill, and then it takes up the entire side of the hill, with each street level being one level higher up, such that when you look at the city, you can literally see the entire city. It's as if you had taken a flat city and turned it up on its side, and you can just see everything. It's particularly beautiful at night. The Sea of Galilee area has not been allowed to be commercially developed, so when you're there on the Sea of Galilee at night, you can't help but see the city of Tiberias, even to this day, with all its lights. This is the kind of image that Jesus would have had in mind when he says that a city on a hillside cannot be hidden. There it is. Everybody can see it, and it's beautiful. Question is, why wouldn't every city want to be built like this? In short, the answer is enemies. While it's very beautiful to have a city that's so on a hillside like that, it also means that it's very exposed. It would very easily be taken over by brigands or even armies that would come through, as we know happens with many cities in the ancient world. The city of Megiddo, for instance. Archaeologists tell us they can discern 23 different distinct layers where the city was completely demolished and then rebuilt, and then demolished and rebuilt again at least 23 times. And now it's just ruins because they finally said, enough. We've been taken over and conquered so many times, we're not going to bother rebuilding. It's dangerous to be a city on a hillside. And yet, this seems to be exactly what Jesus is calling his apostles to do. He says, you see that city on the hill? It can't be hidden. And the apostles would agree, yeah, we know. It's kind of precarious there, the way it's held out for anyone to just come and attack. And yet Jesus says, that city, so too you must shine. Just the way the city of Tiberias would light up at night, the travelers could see it, everyone could find it. That's the way Jesus intends for his disciples and for his church to be. Now that's a great calling, to be salt, to be light for the world. How does Jesus intend us to do that? How can the church be light? How are we supposed to be salt? Well, first, I think one of the ways that we can see is that precisely when things are dark, that's when our attention focuses on the light. Now, the Catholic Church has preserved for 2,000 years the beautiful truths and teachings of Jesus. We would say in the Catholic Church that we have the fullness of truth, everything that Jesus intended for his disciples to have. In fact, the more and more that society would seem to go in the way of error, to follow false teachings and false preaching, the more the Catholic Church shines out. The prologue of John's Gospel puts it beautifully, that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. In fact, perhaps we shine out all the more brightly precisely because others around us are in the dark. So that's certainly one way in which the church is like that light in the darkness. But I think perhaps a more practical example for all of us, if we want to shine our lights, how do we do it? Well, notice that our scripture readings today are filled with examples of how to let our light shine. And they focus particularly on actions. The old adage, actions speak louder than words. In the church, we have many beautiful words, many beautiful teachings, teachings about Jesus, teachings about life. But if we really want to let our light shine, today our scripture readings say, share your bread with the hungry, clothe the naked. All the corporal works of mercy. If you want to shine, look around society and see who society has left in the darkness. Who are on the margins? Who does not have power? Reach out, try to empower them. Try to show each person their human dignity by feeding them, clothing them, caring for the poor and the most vulnerable. If we do that, the scripture says, then your light will shine forth. I think that too is how Jesus intends that our light would shine for others to see. Notice the examples of salt and light. Both of them are kind of non-confrontational. They don't impose themselves. You know, the whole point of salt is not to overpower the food. Rather, salt is subtle. It takes what is good already in the food and just brings out the flavor. It helps the goodness of the food to come out. It's not pushy. It doesn't impose itself. The same way with light. No one is normally knocked over by light. Normally in darkness, it's like that candle in the room. It draws our attention. That's the way a Christian is supposed to be. To be in the world and mixed up in the world, and yet to try to bring out the goodness in the world, like salt. To propose a light where there is darkness. But just like that city on the hill being vulnerable to attack, it's difficult for us too to carry on this mission. It's not easy to do as the scriptures say and say, shine a light on ourselves. Jesus says, everyone must see your deeds. Do we really want everyone to see our deeds? Sometimes I think we're afraid to go out and be light because as soon as we go out in the world and try to be light, well, society's going to take its light, its big floodlight, and shine it on us and say, oh, you have all these teachings about morality. Well, let's look at you. And of course, as soon as the light is shown on us, we're shown to be hypocrites. Because indeed, we have great teaching and a great ideal to which Jesus calls us, but all of us fall miserably short. Now, there's two things we could do with this. We could continue to be that city on a hill and say, fine, shine the light. I'm a hypocrite, absolutely. But that doesn't mean that what I'm saying is wrong. We still need to do it. That would be the call of Jesus to let our light shine. Or we could take a different route. In the ancient world, a city on the hill was vulnerable. If you wanted to make your city safe, you could do one of two things. You could build a huge wall around your city, big high wall, so that you couldn't see out, people couldn't see in, no one knew what was behind the wall, nobody came in or out. You'd be safe. The other option would be to build your city completely underground. We have plenty of examples of those in the ancient world too. Hide your city. Don't let anybody know the city is there, then you'll be safe. Well, we could try to do that in the church too. We could try to stay hidden, be safe, have no one look at us too carefully, keep our message locked away, make this little building here our safe place. Certainly that is the way the world would like us to be. Notice that even in our country, our laws that speak of freedom of religion, how often now do we hear instead freedom of worship? Worship means we're allowed to do what we want to in this building, but as soon as we leave this building, don't go bringing your light, your faith into the world. If you want to enter business, don't think that you're going to run your business according to your Christian principles. You can have freedom when you're hidden in this little building, but don't dare let your light shine out in the rest of the world. It's attractive to think that you know, we could just kind of worry about us, stay hidden underground. But that's not what Jesus calls us to be. He calls us to be vulnerable, to be exposed, to go out into the world and say, yes, look at me. If you want to know what it means to be a Christian, look at me. It's a tough thing to ask, but we've got to be bold like that. We, like that city on a hill, have to be willing to be exposed. Because the truth is, the people that will see us are a lot like us. They know that they can't live up either to the ideals of what Christ is proposing. No one will do it perfectly. But there's only two options. Either we try the best we can and try to bring as many people along with us as we can, or we retreat and live our life underground, where the view is not so good, nobody sees us, but we don't see anything else either. This is why we need each other. Notice the gospel says, let your light shine before others. And our psalm tells us that the just man is a light in darkness for the upright, for other upright people. Because what happens is, if you're willing to go and build your house exposed on another level up on the side of the hill, well, I might just come and build my house next to you, and we'll be neighbors, and we'll be in this together. That's the great joy of being Christians together. We know how vulnerable, exposed we are, and we go out together and we let our light shine. And in some way, we think that in the end, it will be true what John said, that our light will shine in the darkness, and darkness will not overcome it. So maybe it's not with sublimity of words, as Paul says that he didn't use. He too says he used actions, deeds. How can we, with our deeds, then, not be afraid to go out and share our faith with words, if necessary, as St. Francis would say, but also with our deeds? Jesus today points us to that city on a hill, and he gives us the option. Will we be the light of the world, the salt? Will we shine before the whole world in the mission that Jesus has called us to do and take all the pain and suffering that comes with us? There's good reason why the church is always so attacked. If you're always thinking, why always the Catholic Church? Well, it's because we're out there. We're willing to stand for something, and we should expect it in our personal lives too. If you're getting attacked for your faith, if every time you seem to try to go forward, it seems the devil throws up obstacles, well, good. That means you're doing damage to his kingdom. It means that you have a city worth attacking. Good for you. But the other option is to simply retreat underground and hide, to put our light under a bushel basket, to keep it hidden in our homes or hidden in our church, where we will be safe. Question then is, what kind of city do you want your life to be?